This is Jay Sekulow. Questions we might have for the special counsel.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
House Democrats subpoenaed Robert Mueller after the former FBI director made it clear he did not want to testify, saying his report spoke for itself.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
I think the interesting thing is here is, you know, where did he start? How did he assemble his team? Why did they assemble the team that they did? Why did they, when did they decide that there was no collusion and there's no conspiracy being done? When did they decide to actually to put part of the dossier and discuss it in the Mueller report and then not discuss other parts? There's just a plethora of questions here that all go back to the timing, the integrity, and the part of this report. And those are all questions now that he's either going to have to answer or he's going to have to sit there and try to avoid.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
So Jerry Nadler and Adam Schiff subpoenaed Robert Mueller, the former special counsel, to testify before a joint or either a joint or maybe two separate hearings on the Mueller report. Now, I think this is going to backfire on them. And I've said this because the hearing will provide a forum where the rest of the story, as far as how this whole thing started, may have to come out. And I'll tell you what the problem is for the Democrats, is that Bob Mueller stated that his report was his testimony. Thus, his testimony is going to be his report. So you're not going to have anything new from what's inside the four corners of the documents. But what you're going to be able to ask are questions. For instance, when did you know that there was, in fact, no collusion or conspiracy by the Trump campaign with Russia? What did you do with the evidence gathered by former FBI agent Peter Strzok? Why did you not catalog Strzok's phone when he was terminated? Why was it allowed to be wiped clean and be reissued? Do you really believe that it is the job of a prosecutor to exonerate? Did you not conflate the prosecution's burden of proof? Those are questions that may get answered, and it'll be very interesting as to what he said. Then there's going to be a series of questions about this statement. When asked, Bill Barr said, it was not that but for the Office of Legal Counsel opinion that Bob Mueller did not make a determination as to the obstruction issue. And then Bob Mueller kind of indicated it sounded like that in his press conference, although then there was a joint statement issued, Jordan, that made it very clear that it was not but for.
This is a joint statement from the Department of Justice press secretary and Bob Mueller's special counsel press secretary, and they said the attorney general previously stated the special counsel repeatedly affirmed that he was not saying that but for the OLC opinion he would have found the president obstructed justice. The special counsel's report and his statement today made clear that the office concluded, I don't think it made clear, but they say in the statement, that the office concluded it would not reach a determination one way or the other about whether the president committed a crime. There is no conflict between these statements. That is Carrie Kupek, spokesman for DOJ, and Peter Carr, spokesman for the special counsel's office. The special counsel, though, can't have it both ways. You either felt like you could not come to a conclusion, which is what they said in this statement, or you were bound by the OLC opinion. But you could still have come to a conclusion and not have brought charges. So I think that that's where he will be pushed very hard by Democrats especially. And on that goofy sentence about exonerating and not exonerating, we don't exonerate, that's not a prosecutor's role. I feel like he's very Jim Comey-like in this. He's walking into a room, yep, of people that no one is happy with, none of these members of Congress, and he's got some real heavy hard hitters on both sides of the aisle. Some are kind of on the left side of the aisle kind of nutty that he's going to have to answer questions from, but some who are just going to be very angry with him if he starts giving them the normal lines, because the first time he opened his mouth since this conference, he had to have a statement put out clarifying what he said. And he didn't even take questions in that.
While Bob Mueller elected not to reach a conclusion on obstruction, the Department of Justice did. There was none. And he said it was two questions. The questions of fact were too close. When we have questions that are fact too close, you don't make a prosecutorial move. All right, we're going to take your calls and comments. 1-800-684-3110. What do you think about Bob Mueller testifying? I'm glad he's doing it. It'll be very interesting. I think this has got a chance. At number one, I think it ends it. Number two, I think that be careful what you hope for, what you wish for the Democrats on this. I think this could really backfire. We'll take your calls, 800-684-3110.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Here's my questions. When did you know that there was, in fact, no collusion or conspiracy by the Trump campaign with Russia? How early in the investigation? Peter Strzok said he knew there was no there when he started doing the investigation. And by the way, what did you do with the evidence gathered by Peter Strzok, the agent that was in charge of this, for the year and a half he was on the investigation after you removed him? Or, by the way, did you remove him or did Andrew McCabe remove him? Because McCabe said he removed him. Why did you not catalog Peter Strzok's phone when he was terminated? Do an inventory of what was there? Why do you allow the phone to be wiped clean of the evidence? I just asked Andy Economo, who's a former U.S. attorney and a prosecutor. That's tampering with evidence.
It is tampering with evidence. It is actually removing evidence of the possibility of that a crime was committed or that there was some sort of predisposition on the part of Strzok against the president, which we know there was. I mean, he and Page had already made that decision. This could have amplified that. But to take his phone and to wipe it clean and then to reissue it and not to go through it and find every bit of information that's on that phone is unthinkable for a prosecutor to do.
I agree. I mean, I think these are questions that have to be answered. Harry, what do you expect to come out of this?
Well, I think it's important to note that the Democrats have responded with glee, given Mueller's agreement to testify. But I also think they run the risk that this will boomerang. And I think the Democrats will likely overplay their hand and expose Bob Mueller to very tough questions, which I think he will be unable to answer. So, for instance, why was the report drafted in such a logically and legally incoherent manner? In other words, Bob Mueller couldn't reach a conclusion if you read the report two or three times with respect to some of the claims. And secondly, the Mueller team withheld, at least potentially, exculpatory evidence, for instance, with respect to the Michael Flynn prosecution. Right. So why did they do that? Why was Andrew Weissman named to the team when Weissman has such a horrific record? If you go back to the Enron case and a number of other cases, he has done a horrible job, and the convictions reached in those cases were overturned by the United States Supreme Court unanimously. So why not hire a competent legal team in the first place? So there are many, many questions that I don't think Mueller will be able to answer. And if he does, if he answers those questions truthfully, I think it will backfire on the Democrats.
I've got another one. Do you really think it's the job of the prosecutor to exonerate somebody? Because that's what you said. Well, we don't find that he committed a crime. We don't exonerate him either. As if that's your job to exonerate. Did you not conflate the prosecutor's burden of proof? I think all this turned up the whole way we have our system of justice here. Can you imagine that the you're charged unless you could be proven to be exonerated? Would be completely foreign to our American legal system. But that's what they put in the report in writing. So that kind of tells you what it is.
I mean, Harley on Facebook wrote in, this will be the biggest mistake yet made by the Democrats. Here is Lindsey Graham echoing that same kind of message. Bite two.
It is case closed for me, so they can do anything they want to in the House, and I think it'll blow up in their face.
And I think this is why Lindsey Graham is correct. Bob Mueller, yes, he's going to be asked questions by Democrats, and they may be, maybe more friendly, but I think they're going to be pretty agitated too. But he's going to be getting asked those tough questions, like you've said, Dad, the ones that you've been wishing you could ask Bob Mueller,
right?
From people like Doug Collins, who was the ranking member of the Judiciary Committee, Louis Gohmert, who was a judge who was on the Judiciary Committee from Texas. Jim Jordan is not backing down. John Ratcliffe from Texas. And, of course, Matt Gaetz. I mean, these are tough guys that are going to be going after Bob Mueller in a pretty tough way because they are – most of them have legal backgrounds, almost all of them. And they're going to say, the conclusions you wrote, it was a terrible report. It was written poorly. I mean, I think they're going to really hit Bob Mueller on things like that. Incoherent at times. Did you even read this? Did you write even the conclusions to this? Have you really gone through this? Why did they have to release a statement clarifying your only remarks when you had written prepared remarks and didn't take any questions? I mean, so that's just from the Judiciary Committee. Then he heads over to the House Intel Committee, which is smaller, and he's got to deal with John Ratcliffe again and another one who is, again, I think going to really push him to the limits, Devin Nunes.
Right.
So Bob Mueller has got really tough Republicans who may like his conclusion on, obstruction, but they're going to say, on collusion and the conspiracy and all of that. But I think that question of shouldn't your investigation have been over the moment you figured out there was no conspiracy? And based on how you wrote Volume 1 and 2, that could have been over in months.
So, I mean, that is a question. If you knew there was no conspiracy and no collusion early on, what were you doing? I mean, that's a fundamental question. What were you doing?
You were looking for a reason to say that the President of the United States committed a crime, and you were determined with 18 Democratic prosecutors to find the crime was committed.
And still couldn't do it. Fan, what does the theater of this look like?
Well, I think Jordan painted the proper picture. There's going to be a tale of two stories. I mean, when the Democrats are asking questions of the special counsel, there's going to be no substance, Jay. He's going to have to refer back to his report because if he doesn't, it will undermine his own work. He's not going to do that. But when he's getting questions from the minority side, from the Republican side, Jay, I would start with this one. Harry and Jordan talked about some difficult questions, and they're certainly correct. I would start with an easy one. I would ask the special counsel, can you explain for me what presumption of innocence in American jurisprudence mean? What does that look like? And once he answers that, either way, I would ask, well, why does there appear to have been none in this case? Jay, that should be an extraordinarily easy question to answer, but there's really no place for him to go with it, because if he answers it properly, it undermines the way in which he wrote this report. If he answers it incorrectly, it undermines his own work as well. So I think he's going to have trouble even with the easy questions. And at the end of the day, I just think it's a very uncomfortable day for him. I would say this. I think Doug Collins is correct. I think it will finally put an end to this. It should. It should have been over before now. But after he testifies, hopefully it will finally go away.
All right, we're taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take a call.
Yeah, let's go we'll first go to Peggy in Alabama online too. Peggy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Peggy.
Good day. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Two things quickly. I heard back before the midterms that he had come to a conclusion and was not releasing it because he did not want to influence the midterms, which certainly would have if he had come to this conclusion. And I'm wondering whether or not he might be investigated, as I understand he's going to be, and then prosecuted on his own for the result of the way this investigation came out.
Well,
and all the
here,
money.
You're conflating a lot of things here. Let me break it down. Number one, the report did not come out until, was it March, whatever the formal date when it was delivered, towards the end of March. So that's number one. So whether it was done in October, I don't think so. There's things in the report that seem to indicate that it may have been after that. So that's number one. Number two, there is an investigation going on as to the nature and scope of how this investigation started, and that's by U.S. Attorney Durham. That's an ongoing investigation now, Andy, that the Attorney General wanted to know how this all started, what the and I think they will be looking at any improprieties.
They are. He wanted to say whether predicates, yeah, Bill Barr said, I want to find out what the predicates were to these acts of, in this case, as he used the word, and it is, spying that occurred. Was there a reason, for example, to go to the FISA court and to seek a warrant on an American citizen, and what is the material that you used, and what are the predicate acts that were justified taking those activities? So, and that's what the president's attorney general is going to be, you know, finding out, and that includes what is the origin of this. Why did this thing start, this Mueller investigation start? Why did it start? What was the predicate? And I think Durham is going to be looking at that very issue.
And that will not be Mueller's to answer because he got asked to do it.
I mean,
so that's the one easy response he has is, listen, I got a mandate from the Department of Justice. So, I mean, how it got there. I think where it gets more complicated for him is the Peter Strzok info.
Yes.
What did you do with it? Peter Strzok was the head of counterintelligence of the FBI. He started this investigation. You got rid of him. Now,
you were Andrew McCabe. Somebody got rid of him.
You at least removed him from your team.
Right.
And then he got put back in HR, remember?
Right.
And ultimately he gets fired. So probably it was McCabe who fired him from the FBI because of this, but we're not really sure. But what we do know is that for a year before Bob Mueller, it was Peter Strzok doing this research, working with Bruce Orr, working with Christopher Steele, working with Fusion GPS. Then he gets brought on to the special counsel's team, even though he told Lisa Page there's no there. Then he gets removed from the special counsel's team. He's the top researcher. So all the evidence they have, especially on Russia, on the Crossfire Hurricane info, comes from Peter Strzok. Was it destroyed? Did they start over because it was tainted by someone that they thought it was so tainted, they had to remove him from the team. They couldn't just apologize. He had to be removed from the team. And if it wasn't destroyed, was that the basis of any of their report?
All right, we'll take your calls. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. A lot of questions that'll be asked. We'll see how this plays out. I'm actually encouraged. Glad this is happening. All right, we'll take your calls. 800-684-3110. Don't forget also, support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. You could do that at aclj.org. And make sure you're staying engaged with us on our social media platforms, on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter as well. And make sure you're getting your email alerts and updates from the ACLJ. You can do that at aclj.org. I'll be on with Sean Hannity on radio today, TV, I'm going to be on Jake Tapper's program, and then also this evening on Hannity. Back with more in just a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up, aclj.org.
So the House Judiciary and House Intelligence Committees have subpoenaed former Special Counsel Robert Mueller for his testimony before Congress. He's going to do it on July 17th in an open session. I've listed questions I have. I've already gone through those. We're going to go ahead and take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and do that. 1-800-684-3110. We'll take your phone calls and comments. Let's go ahead and take a call.
And what would you want to ask Bob Mueller? 1-800-684-3110. I'd like to hear people's thoughts on that. 1-800-684-3110. James in California, online 3. James, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, James.
Thank you for taking my call. Sure. My question is, will this testimony by Mr. Mueller implicate our former President Obama? Is it possible?
I don't think so. I don't think there'll be anything that's going to be in substantive testimony beyond what is in his report. And he didn't look at what happened under the unmasking or the intelligence sharing or intelligence gathering. So I don't expect it to be anything like that. I expect it to be much more. I think you'll, first of all, Thane, I wouldn't be surprised if the whole thing starts with the whole counterintelligence issue, which Adam Schiff said he had questions on.
It's got to come up, Jay, because so many of the same personnel were involved in both. I mean, I think you guys are both correct on the last question that there's not maybe the direct link, but you to look at Peter Strzok. I mean, he certainly had political motives in multiple other investigations, including the Hillary Clinton one, and then he got brought onto the special counsel team. That will definitely get asked, Jay. So while I agree with you that President Obama himself won't be a topic of conversation, I think there's every reason to ask whether or not the main players in this, who were also main players in the FISA scandal and the Hillary Clinton scandal, maybe had some communication with the White House. It's maybe two or three layers removed, Jay, but I think that is going to be the main focus when it's the minority questioning the special counsel.
Here's what Mark Meadows had to say about the preparation for testimony.
Bob Mueller better be prepared, because I can tell you he will be cross-examined for the first time, and the American people will start to see the flaws in his report.
Harry, what do you think?
Well, I think Meadows is absolutely correct. One of the things that Bob Mueller has escaped, I think, over the last 10 years or so in terms of government service, is tough scrutiny and tough questions. And I doubt seriously whether he's up to answering really tough questions. And I would go back to the selection of the members of his team. So why did he select 18 Democrats on the legal team? In other words, there weren't any competent Republicans out there to participate in this investigation. And then the second question I would ask is, on what basis were Peter Strzok and Lisa Page selected and then, I guess, subsequently removed? And then I would ask him, when did Bob Mueller learn that there was no evidence supporting conspiracy or collusion? So why did he drag this investigation out? My intuition suggests that he dragged it out because he was looking to create a perjury trap.
All right.
I think Anthony's got a great question for Bob Mueller, and I think it is going to be one that is asked. Anthony from Pennsylvania, online one, you're on the air.
Hi, Anthony.
Hey, guys. Hey, you guys, great show. Yeah. I think everything that you're talking about from the minority perspective is spot on. Those hard questions are going to be asked. But I think that the Democrats' real end game here is they need Bob Mueller to get in front of Congress in the public square, and they did ask him one question. Do you believe the president obstructed justice? If he answers that question, yes. But that will give them the go-ahead to proceed with impeachment hearings. That's why I believe they're getting him in on July the 7th.
He will not say, I cannot imagine a circumstance where he's going to say that he came to a conclusion contrary to his report. Yeah. His report said it was close questions of law and fact. And thus, he did not make a typical prosecutorial decision and did not determine that the president violated the law. And then he said, I did not exonerate him either. So he's going to say, and by the way, it is when that is a situation, and Andy can drill down on this a bit, that's why the Department of Justice, the Attorney General and the Deputy Attorney General made the conclusion, based on the evidence that Bob Mueller gathered, that there was no obstructive intent.
Look, Mueller's job was special counsel. Let's understand that. Not special prosecutor, not independent counsel. His job was to make factual findings and determinations. He said in his report that he couldn't reach a determination one way or the other about whether the president committed a crime. But the attorney general had the right to do so, could do so, and did do so. He said there was no obstruction of justice. That should end it, and does, in my opinion, end it. There is nothing further for Mueller, and Mueller's not going to answer the question, did the president obstruct justice? Because the answer to that would be in his report. I didn't make a decision one way or the other. But the attorney general made that decision, and that's the thing we've got to keep in mind. It was the attorney general's decision that this did not constitute obstruction of justice.
Here's going to be an interesting thing. Who's going to be helping Bob Mueller prepare? Most of his staff has already gone and left. Are they going to come in voluntarily to help him prepare? That'd be a question I'd like to ask. Who prepared you for today's testimony?
Yeah, because a lot of them were critical, too, of how he put this report together. Correct. They didn't like it either.
That's why they were leaking.
So they leaked portions. I want to go to Jane's call, and then we got a lot of calls coming in. Jane in Hawaii on line 3, because I think it actually does touch on something that we've been discussing today with all these questions we'd like asked. Jane, you're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to ask, is it possible that Mueller can claim the Fifth and not even answer?
I think he wish he could. Yes. We know Bob Mueller said he didn't want to speak again on this.
Yeah, he did.
So this is a guy who may be trembling right now in the sense of having to go before the committee. And I think after he hears some of these Republicans on, and even the Democrats, like the last caller, Aaron's caller, which I think is right, who are going to push him on, do you believe the president obstructed justice, Bob Mueller? I mean, he's going to get that. And exactly that tone, too. Screaming in his face from the Democrats. Republicans are going to be pushing him hard with all the questions we've started going through today. I think Bob Mueller wishes he could get out of this. I don't know. It wouldn't be pleading the Fifth. But we know Bob Mueller wanted to be done with this and wanted to have no more time in the spotlight. You know what his problem was? That bad 9-minute public statement that he had to have corrected by his own press person on the final day on the job. He should have never opened his mouth. He did. He did that 9-minute press conference, and his press person had to correct it. And that started unraveling everything.
So, Harry, if you look at it, you know, as a law professor, and you look at the way the report was constructed and put together, and kind of the reverse logic that was utilized in the burden of proof issue, you know, the idea here is we believe in innocence until proven guilty. Bob Mueller said, I can't say you're not guilty because I can't exonerate you.
Right.
That's a failure.
It's an absolute failure. It's a failure of logic, and it's a failure of legal analysis. And if you think about it carefully, it impeaches the entirety of the report. In other words, the report itself is deficient, except with respect to one conclusion, which is that there was no collusion and no conspiracy. But with respect to the whole obstruction of justice inquiry, it was incompetently put together. And it suggests that Bob Mueller selected an incompetent team of individuals. And lastly, I would add, it suggests that no one read the entire report before it was published. And I doubt seriously Bob Mueller did as well.
I think that's right. All right. We are done with the first half hour of the program already. That was very quick. We are here for another 30 minutes. If you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, what most of you do from stations around the country, of course, SiriusXM, go to ACLJ.org. We're streaming it there, both audio and video. Same thing on Facebook and Periscope. Great way for you to stay engaged. Jordan's going to let you know also, support the work of the ACLJ and stay engaged with us on social media.
Well, you know in those last 48 hours what we've uncovered at the American Center for Law and Justice, and there's more that we are uncovering through our FOIAs, through the work that we do. You are just the tip of the iceberg. I know it, folks. More is coming. So, last night when you turned on Fox News, you had reporters talking about the ACLJ's work and what we had found, and of course you called in. So support the work of the ACLJ. Go to ACLJ.org and donate today. We'll be right back.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at ACLJ.org.
from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
I think the interesting thing is here is, you know, where did he start? How did he assemble his team? Why did they assemble the team that they did? Why did they, when did they decide that there was no collusion and there's no conspiracy being done? There's just a plethora of questions here that all go back to the timing, the integrity, and the part of this report. And those are all questions now that he's either going to have to answer or he's going to have to sit there and try to avoid.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
So Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler have subpoenaed Bob Mueller. Bob Mueller's agreed to testify. That's on the 17th of July. I think that's good. I've written a couple pieces up at Fox News in the op-ed section, but let me just go through a couple things here with you. So I think it's political theater, but they're entitled to have it. Nothing new. An effort to keep kind of this anti-President Trump narrative in as long as the Democrats can. It's not getting a lot of traction. They had a reading of the report yesterday, a dramatic reading, and that's been panned pretty successfully around or pretty extensively. I've got some questions I'd like to ask Bob Mueller if I was able to ask questions. I'm not allowed, by the way. I'm not a member of Congress, so you don't get to ask the questions. When did you know that there was, in fact, no collusion or conspiracy by the Trump campaign with Russia? And why at that point did you not just terminate your investigation? Ah, because we were checking obstruction. Well, I got a question about that, too. What did you do with the evidence gathered by former FBI agent Peter Strzok before you fired him? And why did you not catalog Peter Strzok's phone when he was terminated and instead allow it to be wiped out and cleared, which I think is tampering with evidence? Did you really believe it's the job of a prosecutor to exonerate? Because I thought in this country it was innocent until proven guilty. Not you're innocent only when you're exonerated, which Professor Hutchinson turns the entire justice system, criminal justice system, upside down.
Absolutely, and it suggests that there was clear and unmistakable incompetence with respect to the construction of the team and their understanding of legal analysis. So, in effect, Bob Mueller impeached his own investigation because he offered insufficient legal analysis to justify any of his conclusions with respect to obstruction of justice. Since he could not exonerate, then he should note carefully that the law requires him to determine that the President of the United States is entitled to the presumption of innocence. That is the end of the story, the end of the line. No obstruction and no collusion.
Andy, the fact that he did say, you know, we're not saying the president committed a crime, but we're not exonerating him either. That, to me, is the fundamental flaw with the entire piece.
Well, of course it is, and it makes the report what it really ultimately is, Jay, and that's a pile of trash. A prosecutor's job is not to make a decision as to whether or not you exonerate. Look, if you got the evidence, you prosecute. You take it to a grand jury, you indict, and you go forward. If you don't, you don't say anything. But you certainly don't say, well, I can't reach a conclusion one way or the other about whether the president committed a crime. That is not what the job of a prosecutor is. And the presumption of innocence was indeed as my colleague Harry Hutchison said, turned on its head here. Somebody needs to go back to law school. And I'm wondering who wrote this report, Jay. That's the thing I want to know, because Mueller cannot possibly, having been in the Justice Department and director of the FBI, been so ignorant as to write a report that's so ridiculous. I've read it twice. I read this report twice. I can't figure out what he's saying. I don't think he can either.
Well, they conflated the whole, they turned the whole thing up. It is turned upside down. I mean, Jordan, literally, is. And then you mentioned the thing about then Bob Mueller makes the public statement saying, I'm not really needing to testify. I don't want to testify. Yes. Because my report's my testimony. And then they got to clarify his statement.
Yeah, I mean, let's play it for people. There's Bob Mueller, bite 25.
Beyond what I've said here today and what is contained in our written work, I do not believe it is appropriate for me to speak further about the investigation or to comment on the actions of the Justice Department or Congress. And it's for that reason I will not be taking questions today as well.
But literally, because of that statement, moments later, his own press person had to put out a statement correcting his comments on the OLC opinion preventing prosecution.
Also, he said, I don't believe it's appropriate for me to speak further about the investigation or comment on the action of the Justice Department or Congress. Well, I guess now you think it is. I'm fine with it. I think it's good that he's testifying, but you said it was inappropriate. I'd ask that question, too. All right, we're taking a break. We come back, we'll take your calls, 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. So stay tuned, and again, support the work of the ACLJ. I'll be joining Sean Hannity on radio this afternoon and also on television tonight.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
All right, welcome back. So, Than Bennett, let me ask you this. So, we've got two separate hearings now and a private session as well.
So, two separate hearings at this point, just an open session, Jay. I actually will make a prediction. I think they're going to end up getting combined. I think all 65 members will be in the same room. That's not been announced right now, but I see a lot of wiggle room in the statement. I think it just make it easier for the Congress. But I'm going to make a little prediction here, Jay. You played some sound a second ago that Doug Collins was saying all of these questions that you're talking about are going to be coming up. I predict, Jay, that the Democrats on these committees are then going to try to protect the special counsel and say, no, that's out of scope of the hearing. So if I were a member of the minority, I would be ready to read this quote from the chairman of the Intelligence Committee, from Adam Schiff. There is no limitation on confining his testimony to the four corners of the report. That may be his desire, but Congress has questions that go beyond the report. So I think the minority will ask the questions, the majority will shut them down, and then the words of the chairman of the majority will allow those questions to proceed.
All right, let's go ahead and
talk. I can't wait for... I'm just imagining Bob Mueller had to face 65 of these men and women, some of which, I mean, you got some absolute nuts, too. You got Sheila Jackson Lee, Ted Deutch, Hakeem Jeffries, Ted Lieu. Who knows what Ted Lieu video he's going to be bringing out or large printout. I'm sure there's going to be many. The printing, which is downstairs in the House of Representatives, the printing office, which they use, you know,
they like
at our expense.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man, can you imagine how many are going to have? These are the types that love their giant, the posters.
Wasn't
that,
Ted Lieu the one that was texting pictures of Hope Hicks during her testimony?
Yes.
Yeah, that was very appropriate.
It had to be admonished about it.
That was really appropriate. Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and take some phone calls.
Wow.
All right, take a call.
I mean, this is just such a gang.
Take Tony from line four.
Okay, hey, Tony, New Jersey on line four. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Tony.
Thanks so much, Jay, for all you do. I really praise God for you. But here's my question for Mueller. Why on earth did he even agree to start this probe when he most likely knew that the FBI investigated this for 9 months? We have it in the transcripts from Lisa Page herself.
Yeah. And she said there was nothing there.
Nothing there. Even Strzok said, I believe, in the revealed text messages.
No, yeah. There is what
no
he
there,
said.
There.
Look, I think that's my first question is, when did you know that there was no Russia collusion or conspiracy, whatever you want to call it, with the Trump campaign with Russia? When did you first realize that, and why did you keep moving everything else going? So I think, look, those are questions he's going to be asked. We'll find out what his answer is.
He had to make a living. He's also got to go.
He had to make a living.
He needed a job.
Okay, he had to make a living somehow, and this was the way he did it.
Impeach him now. Jamie Raskin will be getting to answer questions. He was a law school professor. He likes to make sure everyone knows that every interview he does. As well as, of course, Adam Schiff. People really love him. He's such a lovable character. Eric Swalwell,
running for president,
who literally his only two issues are at Russia, which they found no collusion with. So what's he gonna get back? And guns. So that's not the second issue. And then the brother of a guy running for president at 0.1%, Joaquin Castro, again. So I mean, you've got just a parade of horribles from the Democrat side that Bob Mueller's gonna have to deal with. And these are some who are these are the conspiracy theorists on the left.
Yeah.
The ones who come out with the crazy comments that every other Democrat's got to back away from. This is that group. Starting off the top with Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee.
So I think it was inappropriate for me to testify further, is what Bob Mueller said. I mean, he said that. He used the word inappropriate, but now it's appropriate. It's great that he's testifying. All right, let's grab another call.
Yeah, back to the phones we go. Let's go to Jay in Utah. Has been holding on line two. Interesting question. Jay, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yes.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. The first question I had asked Miller would be, where is Volume 3? Volume 3 should actually be Volume 1, because Volume 3 isn't there, which is the beginning of it.
You know, in other words, you want a new volume on. How'd you start this whole thing? His answer to that's going to be, I was appointed, I just did what they told me to do. So that's how he's going to avoid Harry addressing the start. But he's going to still have to answer the questions about Strzok and Page. I think he has to answer the questions about Bruce Orr. All of those questions are going to become relevant.
Absolutely. You cannot avoid dealing with the origin of this investigation, because there is evidence to suggest that Bob Mueller's investigation was grounded in these questionable origins. And so it's very, very possible that the special counsel will ultimately have to answer questions concerning, for instance, the issuance of FISA warrants and what additional evidence was uncovered with respect to the issuance of such warrants.
And you know, he's not going to want to answer those questions.
Did he rely on that evidence? And if he used that evidence, for instance, with respect to any of the prosecutions. I think another fair question is why all of the focus on peripheral issues with respect to, for instance, Paul Manafort. Keep in mind, Paul Manafort was never charged with anything pertaining to Russia collusion.
Right.
It was all having to do with activities that he engaged in well before representing the candidate, then candidate president, now President Trump. So the question becomes, what were you doing with your time, Bob Mueller? It doesn't seem like you were actually investigating within your mandate.
Let's go back to the phones. Jim in New York on line five. Jim, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jim.
Okay. Hey, Jay, here's my questions, okay? Number one, when Peter Strzok had the meeting with all the Clinton confidants, Susan Rice, Cheryl Mills, Uma Abedin, why was it a closed-door meeting with no recording, no minutes taken, and they were all given immunity?
We actually now have their immunity agreements, by the way, through our FOIA request. Look, those are – I think he's going to deflect those, Jim.
You kind of quickly said that. We haven't totally gotten into that yet.
Yeah, we haven't had time because we've had so much – we're getting a lot of documents on our FOIA litigation. We actually have the Cheryl Mills immunity agreement and the Samuelson one, too.
So stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned. They'll come probably next week. I mean, we just got so much going on this week. But I think, Jim, the reality is that he's going to deflect anything regarding anything other than his actual investigation. And that's what I think. I don't think he gets into it. He tries to avoid it.
I don't think he will. It's going to be really hard on the Peter Strzok one, Jay, because I would
that
start backwards.
I mean, agree.
I would start with the question of, well, why did you fire Peter Strzok? And we all know the answer to that. The answer is because political bias surfaced and he had to be removed from the team. So once he answers in some vein in that fashion, which would be truthful, then you ask the question, well, then why did you hire him? Because the political bias was known before that, and he was the lead investigator on the Hillary Clinton matter. I thought Congressman Matt Gaetz put it best when he said that is something that you would not normally see. I think that's to say it kindly, but if you start backwards on Strzok, he really has to answer that question about the firing. Then there's no justification for bringing him on board. And, Jay, that's to say nothing about Lisa Page. So there are going to be some sticky situations here for the special counsel that he really has no way of getting out of.
All right. I think that the biggest issue, I think what Than said is right, that that Bob Mueller's going to be faced with is his desire to not answer specific questions on the irregularities of the investigation. And I think those are fair game. I think, Andy, that's the appropriate, it's appropriate to ask about that.
It is appropriate to ask about that, and he's not going to answer those. He's going to dodge those questions. I know he's going to dodge those questions because, first of all, Jay, he doesn't want to be there. He's there under subpoena, but he's going to try to elude those questions because I don't think he wrote this report. I don't think he read this entire report. I have my candidates, by the way, as to who wrote the portion of the report dealing with this exoneration, non-exoneration, and I think that person is long gone, is no longer there. But this was not the hand of Mueller.
Let's go take one more call before this break. Remember, we've got our final segment coming up. We take all the phone calls. So we're going to open up a line, 1-800-684-3110. We're open up a line with Bill's call from Oklahoma on line 6. Another interesting question that will be asked of Bob Mueller.
Dan just kind of covered it, but when Peter Strzok himself testified before Congress being questioned by Jim Jordan, he was pressed by Jim Jordan on who fired him. He said Mueller did it. He was asked several times if it was for bias. He totally kept denying that.
Yep.
Said he sat in Mueller's office for 15 minutes, was in fact fired from the team, but had absolutely no idea why he was fired.
Yeah, and this is nonsensical. I mean, Peter Strzok's testimony, that was absolutely nonsensical. I mean, completely.
Well, the information was already out.
Yep.
So, I mean, the fact that he had no idea, we were already reading these text messages. Bob Mueller acted very late to remove Peter Strzok. I think that's one of the questions to be asked is, why did you wait so long to remove Peter Strzok from your team? And when did you exactly do it? We don't know when he was exactly removed. So were you did you remove him months into this, a year into this? And what did you do with the information he gathered even before he joined your team? Because he was the head investigator for the FBI, number one for Crossfire Hurricane. He got all the info done from his team and took it over to the special counsel's team. What did you do with the information that was tainted by the fruit of a poisonous person? And that would have been Peter Strzok.
Yep.
We will take your phone calls coming up. Final segment, we take all your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110.
All right, also let me encourage you that, again, this is part of the process here, that your support of the ACLJ on a whole host of issues allows us to do this each and every day on radio, also gets our lawyers in courts here in the United States and around the globe. We encourage you as we get to the end of the month here, support the work of the ACLJ. You do that easily. Go to aclj.org, aclj.org, and stay engaged with us on our social media campaigns, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We'll be back with more, including your calls, in just a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at
aclj.org.
All right, last segment, we take your calls on the topic, and our phone lines are jammed, so we're going to go in the order that people call. We'll start with line three.
Yeah, Patty in Maryland on line three. Patty, welcome to JCKO Live.
Hi, Patty.
Yeah, hello, thank you. And sure. I pray for you all every
Thanks.
Day, and God may God bless your ministry.
Thank you.
First of all, I believe this is a decoy to lure us away from prosecuting Hillary Clinton. And suppose we fast forward to the end of this investigation and committee hearing, and they determine that the report is invalid and voided out. Will they prosecute?
Congress has no authority to determine that a report is invalid. They could accept the report for what it is and use it for their hearings, but then they can't declare. It's not like a court can file a motion to dismiss, and the motion to dismiss is granted. That's not the role of Congress here.
This report now belongs to the Attorney General and the Department of Justice. I mean, this is simply a political play, Jay. It's the Democrats on these two committees trying to give the special counsel a mulligan, a do-over. They want him to rewrite the report. He's not going to do that. That would undermine his entire career. That's all this is. It's a political game at this point. Jay, it's going to be interesting, though. Speaker Pelosi has the right to come sit in on this hearing as the Speaker of the House. She's a member of the Select Committee on Intelligence. It's going to be interesting if she shows up, because, Jay, she's the one right now trying to hold back a lot of her conference on some of this. I suspect she'll stay away, but let's see.
Harry, do you think, I mean, it raises an interesting question, and that is, I do think it is part of a do-over here. So, I mean, if you were a Democrat on this committee, what would you try to, you'd try to get the admission on obstruction, right?
I think that is correct, but I also think there's a balancing act for many Democrats.
He's going to say
Democrats want to impeach the president regardless of the evidence. Other Democrats think that that would be a political mistake, and I think Nancy Pelosi, for instance, is in that category at the moment. And so I think the Democrats have to be careful about overplaying their hand, but I also would be willing to bet that you will find a number of Democrats who will indeed overplay their hand, and this hearing will backfire against the Democrats and will perhaps lead to a reduced demand for impeachment, but
I see that. Yep.
It will also lead to additional scrutiny on the competence of the Democrats. And so I think if you look at Nadler and if you look at Schiff, I'm not convinced all of the time that they know what they're actually trying to accomplish and achieve, because if they thought about this carefully, I am not sure they would have actually asked Bob Mueller to appear.
Andy, what do you think you see in this? I mean, I think Harry raises a really good point. I'm not sure that they say they wanted to appear, and they move with the subpoena. I'm not sure they really wanted that.
No, I mean, this is a dead horse that somebody's desperately trying to revive because they see no other issue against the president but to bring this same old hackneyed story of the Mueller report up. Look, this report is over. He wrote it. The president prevailed. There's no collusion. There's no obstruction. But the Democrats just won't let it go because they've got nothing else. They've got nothing else. I think that it will backfire because Mueller is never going to say that he believes the president was guilty of any particular crime, because that would vitiate the entire report that he wrote.
I wrote this in my op-ed. I said, but the fact is the Mueller report really was an exoneration of the president, and there was no collusion, there was no obstruction. This is over, and we won.
That's right. And everyone out there supports the president and agreed with the president the whole time that this was a witch hunt, that this was a faux investigation, won. They won this round. Now, the next round is the actual election. I don't even consider Mueller testifying a round. I think that it's important for historical purposes. The guy already said it would be inappropriate for him to testify, so what's he doing there? And I think I want to take this call in light of that.
Okay.
Because I think it's a good call to kind of finish this discussion out on this.
Yeah.
About why Mueller even agreed to this subpoena, which he could have. There were ways not to do this, but he didn't. David in Michigan on line four.
Hi, David.
Hi, thank you for taking my call, you guys. Thanks for fighting the fight. I really appreciate it. I contribute when I can. Just wondering if there's any topic that Mueller cannot testify to legally, or is everything on the table?
If there's an ongoing investigation, he can't do that. He can't disclose sources and methods. I mean, the normal things you would see. grand jury material still.
And he tried to say, which Adam Schiff has said no to already, he's going to stay within the four corners of the report. His part was how he responded. And Adam Schiff said, no, you're not.
Yeah, I mean, so Adam Schiff was
very
clear about
that. There will be interesting to see if he says, I'm not going to talk about that and what the pushback is.
You know, it's interesting also, Norm on Facebook wrote this. I believe the FISA issue is the elephant in the room. And I think there's some real sense, fan, of that. I mean, that we don't have the answer on the FISA issue yet and what role that played in this report.
Yeah, this is where I think the Democrats on the committees are going to try to play it both ways, Jay. I mean, Adam Schiff, and probably be Jerry Nadler, frankly, since Adam Schiff has already made the comments. When FISA comes up, when Peter Strzok comes up, I think Jerry Nadler will raise an objection and say, no, that's not what we're here to talk about. And then you're just going to read the quote back from Adam Schiff, and it's going to be fair game. I will say in the letter from the committee back to the special counsel, they did concede that there were certain sensitivities to ongoing investigations that they knew he could steer clear of. I'm sure he won't go there. But outside of that, Jay, Adam Schiff had already conceded that all of that is fair game.
So Gene on Facebook wrote, Andy, why can't the left understand the role of the special counsel? Because they don't want
to. Because they don't want to. I mean, they just don't want to. I can't force somebody to understand something that just radically and basically and fundamentally they don't want to understand. They are after this president no matter what, and they do not understand the rule of law, the rule of prosecution, what the burden of proof is, who has the burden of proving what in a criminal case, that you don't exonerate as a prosecutor, and all these basic things that we've talked about during the program. They don't want to understand that. That's simply it.
I want to take the last 2 minutes here and kind of get everybody's assessment on how this thing ends. I'm going to start with, man, what do you expect this looks like when it's all over?
I think you're going to see a beleaguered special counsel, honestly, because I think he's going to be asked about all of the questions we've raised today. There are some that he just can't answer credibly, Jay. The Peter Strzok one, the origin ones, the why did you flip the presumption of innocence. And I think it will leave the Speaker of the House in a very tough situation because I think there will be no grounds really to proceed. But look, there's several in her caucus who have already proven they cannot be contained. So I think it's actually going to be a political disaster for those who issued this subpoena.
All right, Harry.
Well, based on Bob Mueller's public statement, that 9.5-minute statement that had to be corrected shortly thereafter, I think that this hearing will backfire for a number of reasons, not the least of which is the fact that I believe Bob Mueller is very close to being an almost comatose witness.
Hmm. You know, there you go. That was a Professor Harry Hutchinson kind of response. Go ahead.
Yeah, I tweeted last night right away, and I got a lot of pushback from liberals, of course, a lot of nasty memes. But I think that we've come to that conclusion today, all of us, and all looking at it from different points, and we're being honest about it. If we thought this was going to be really bad for the president or bad for the Republicans, I think we'd be honest about it. But we know that there's Republicans on here that will hold him accountable. I said this is dangerous. Very dangerous for the Democrats. Republicans on the committee have a lot of tough questions for Mueller, like what he did with all the Strzok gathered info after he was dismissed from special counsel team, and how early did Mueller's team determine there was no collusion or conspiracy?
Andy?
T.S. Eliot, this is the way the world ends. This is the way the world ends, not with a bang, but a whimper.
Well, there you go. Very eclectic on this broadcast today. All right, that does it. Again, stay engaged with the ACLJ at aclj.org so you can get the quotes from Andy Economo on T.S. Eliot. That's pretty impressive. You didn't say it in another language, however.
Well, he wrote in English.
Okay, there you go. All right, that does it. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Don't forget to support the work of the ACLJ. You can do that at aclj.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become